Please turn with me to our main scripture text. That'll be Job chapter 31. This is the final speech of Job. Job is coming here tonight in this chapter to speak again, to hope for a vindication of what he has been charged with. And he comes to us tonight to speak about his life of holiness and sanctification. Let's read chapter 31. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above, and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales, that God may know my integrity. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart walked after my eyes, or if any spot adheres to my hands, then let me sow and another eat. Yes, let my harvest be rooted out. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another, and let others bow down over her, for that would be wickedness. Yes, it would be iniquity deserving of judgment, for that would be a fire that consumes to destruction and would root out all my increase. If I have despised the cause of my male or female servant when they complained against me, what then shall I do when God rises up? When he punishes, how shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? If I have kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or eaten my morsel by myself so that the fatherless could not eat of it, but from my youth I reared him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me, and if he was not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless when I saw I had help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder. Let my arm be torn from the socket. For destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. If I have made gold my hope, or said to fine gold, you are my confidence, if I have rejoiced because my wealth was great and because my hand had gained much, if I have observed the sun when it shines or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed and my mouth has kissed my hands, this also would be an iniquity deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. If I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted up myself up when evil found him, indeed, I have not allowed my mouth to sin. By asking for a curse on his soul, if the men of my tent have not said, who is there that has not been satisfied with his meat? But no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I opened my doors to the traveler. If I have covered my transgression as Adam, by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, because I feared the great multitude and dreaded the contempt of families, so that I kept silence and did not go out of the door. Oh, that I had but one to hear me! Here is my mark. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me, that my prosecutor had written a book. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder and bind it on me like a crown. I would declare to him the number of my steps like a prince. I would approach him. If my land cries out against me and its furrows weep together, if I have eaten its fruit without money or caused its owners to lose their lives, then let thistles grow instead of wheat and weeds instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We pray that you would help us to see your word tonight, to profit from us. And Lord, I pray that though we are weary and we need much rest, Lord, that you would give us rest in you tonight. But most of all, you would challenge us, O God, to continue to persevere as we heard today. That we would persevere in the faith and encourage one another to do the same as we fight this battle together in faith, we pray. Bless the word tonight, Lord, as it goes forth. We pray that it would do the work that you have willed it to do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the last speech of Job, as we said, and here is his oath of clearance. He is attempting to clear himself tonight in chapter 31. He gives these negative confessions. You know, it's not just enough for Job to say, I'm not guilty. For Job, it was, if I'm not guilty, if I am guilty, then such and such should happen to me. This is Job's last speech, and charges have been brought. No witnesses to the crime have come forward, and Job is clean. He has no blot on his hands. I pray that that would describe us tonight. The topic, the title is The Christian's Integrity. I pray that as we look at Job tonight, as we see Job and how he expresses himself and the crimes that he speaks about and the sins that he speaks about tonight, that we would see not only the Lord Jesus Christ in the sense of Job walked as Christ walked, as we are commanded in the New Testament to do. Job walked that walk. And I pray that we would be challenged tonight, that we would not just be here to hear another message, that we would be challenged in our faith tonight, that it would be something that would drive us to our knees, to the Lord Jesus Christ, because without him, we are helpless to accomplish what Job had accomplished even in his life up to this point. And so I pray that that would help us tonight. And in Job 31, he lists all these specific sins and crimes, and he denies them all. And he says, if I've done this, I pray that this would happen to me. And he's speaking and he's living before the face of God. And he is living with truth, and he is not living with deceit and hypocrisy. He's not hiding. Even you read that he didn't hide his sins from everyone. He wasn't a man who walked around with a mask. He was a man who was true, a man who loved God and was transparent in all his dealings. But this list of sins or crimes or whatever you want to call them tonight is not a complete list. This is not a list that any person would in a legal court put down the brief and list every sin or every crime that was there. This is Job, who is right now at his wit's end, and he's probably a bit incoherent at this point. And this is an outcry by an outcast who's sitting on the town dump. He's still sitting in dust and ashes. And so I pray that we would see that this is the man that we're talking about here tonight. And all of the sins that Job, and I'm not going to go into all the specific sins tonight that are listed here, but all of the sins except one are primarily against his people, against humanity, except for the one which is idolatry, which is directly against God. But Job realizes that all of these are sins against God, and they are wicked in God's sight. In verse 23, you notice he says, for destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. Job, as we spoke before, was a man who feared God. And that fear drove him to what we read tonight. And I pray that that would drive us as well. He fears God. He trusts him. And he trusts his righteousness, even to the point of coming to God with some very difficult questions, not fearing from the sense because he knew that God was righteous and would always do right. Of course, he doesn't know why God is doing this to him right now, but he is still a man who trusts God. He knows what Micah says. And tonight I'm going to have 3 points that I'm going to cover here in the time that we have. And they're all based on Micah chapter 6, and we're going to cover that in a brief minute, but it's going to be 3 things. One is the justice of Job, Job's justice in dealing with life, Job's love of mercy and loving kindness is the second point, and Job's humble walk before God is the third point. And it's based upon Micah chapter 6. Verses 6 through 8, I'll read them briefly. It says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with a calf a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what the Lord does require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These three points I would like to cover in the sermon tonight. And the first is Job's justice. And as we read in Romans chapter 12, we are told that we are to overcome good with evil. We are not to be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the life of Job. And if you look with me in verses 13 through 15, we see he says, if I have despised the cause of my male or female servant when they complained against me, what then shall I do when God rises up, and when he punishes, how shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? Though rich and powerful, Job was a man who knew that he was a created man just like everybody else. And he would take up the cause of the needy and those who were taken advantage of in society. This he did even when their complaint was against him. Now, I know many of you are much better at this than I am when someone comes to make a complaint against you. How justly do we deal? How much does redemption come into our hearts and minds when people are coming against us to complain? Well, this is Job, the man who desired to do justly and stand in the gap. I have to speak tonight before I even get into this because it came in my heart and mind. And as I know, the women had the breakfast yesterday here about dealing with the issue of abortion and women and pregnancy and all that sort of thing. And we have right now the wickedness that we have in our state, and our governor is trying to pass the most wicked bill probably that we could see in terms of allowing abortions and in any term or by anyone or with any very few stipulations. Is wickedness at its highest. And it is this wickedness that Job was a man who was against. It is this wickedness that Job ran against, the justice that he required. He hated injustice. He was commanded to do justly. And he stood in the gap. We read about those who were widows, those who were fatherless, those who were needy. Job stood in the gap. Who will stand in the gap for the unborn? Who will stand in the gap for those who have no say? Will it be the church? Will it be us? Will we be like Job? I pray that we would think about that in the context. Because our society, while we're not moralists, our society will grow more evil and evil as we allow men and women to become more wicked and pass more wicked laws. Yes, God is sovereign, but we're commanded to do justly. Job was a man who stood in the gap. I pray that it would be us, that we would stand in the gap and do justly as we are called by God in our own conscience and our own lives to do so. And this desire Job had to do justly kept his pride away. His focus upon living a life of justice, living a life of loving mercy and loving kindness, and living a humble life kept him from the sin of pride. And he could focus on doing more for others and consider others more important than himself. This is part of doing justice. That is when someone has a complaint or whether they come at us and it says we are to overcome evil with good. We are to have, like Job has, is a mind of redemption. His fear of God, his awe of God, and his love of God caused him to do justly in all his relationships. You'll notice tonight it's not about what Job necessarily always did. It was about his attitude. It was about how he feared God and how he walked under the eyes of God continually. And he knew that. And that drove him not to take things lightly. As we read in Romans chapter 7 and chapter 6, we are not under law. We are under grace. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ that we are not under the law. We would be crushed if we were under the law. But thank God we are dead to the law in Jesus Christ. But we are not, certainly not, to take advantage of grace and to think of sin lightly. And Job was a man who did not take it lightly at all. What about us? Do we look to bless others, or are we self-absorbed? Are we looking for opportunities like Job to bless others, to pray about those opportunities that God, we talked about opportunities within the church, opportunities for us to minister to others? And will we overcome evil with good? One of the things I thought about as I looked at this, and Job says in here, he says that he would not allow his mouth to sin, even when people came against him. He did not gossip. He did not speak unkindly about people, even when they came against him. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ, when they came against him, he spoke not a word. Job says, I would not have my mouth sin. It is very important for us to realize that part of doing justice, part of helping others, part of thinking others more important than ourselves, is what we do with our mouths and our attitudes and how we deal with that. I pray that as we think about Job and doing justice, that we would clearly think about what we say and do about one another and how we treat one another, what we say about one another when they're not there. Job says, I didn't hide my iniquity. He was not a hypocrite. He was upfront, transparent. He says that I was a sinner. If I hid my transgressions, he was a man who had transgressions, but he didn't hide them. He didn't hide them from the Lord because he knew the Lord saw everything that he did. And he didn't hide them from everybody else because he wasn't a man who would talk about people. He wasn't a man. He was a man who desired to overcome evil with good. I pray that that would encourage us, that would propel us to look for the good, to look to do justice in every situation that we deal with, because this is the context that Job is dealing with, the relationships that he had with one another, not just in the church, but everywhere in society, and how Job considered those people so important that God had made them, that he would, in all his power, that he would do justice for them. And this idea of gossip is something that it pervades the church. It's not even mentioned in this text here, but clearly it's implied from the standpoint of when people complained to him, he went right and helped them to do justly. He didn't go and talk around their backs. He didn't go and speak evil about them. His goal was to help them and to make it to do justly. And doing justice is all about love, which we'll see in the second point, that Job did love. He loved mercy and he loved loving kindness. And that is a part of doing justice as well. So it's not just our actions that we need to think about when we think about doing justice. It's our attitudes and our minds and how we think about the person that we're talking to and the disposition of our heart. The heart will play a major role here for Job because everything comes through the eyes and through the ears into our hearts. And how we respond tells us what's in our heart. And I pray that this would help all of us to turn to our Lord Jesus Christ for help in this area where we can be such a help to one another and to the world as we stand in the gap with righteousness and justice. And we do justly and we have the right attitude. And we have the attitude of love, which Job is the second part of what Job is dealing with here. And I'll go to that second point, and that is that Job loved in truth. He loved mercy, kindness, and loyalty. He was a man who, the word that's used here in the loving kindness in Micah, this loving mercy and this call, this loving kindness, is the God kind of love. It's the love of God that he exhibited to his people in redemption. This is the love that God displayed to you and to me. It is a devotion. God is devoted. Jesus Christ is devoted to you and to me who are in Christ. With loyalty, love, unchanging love for his people. Job knew this kind of love. He knew the command to love mercy and loving kindness. Job's love was true. It was love that was not hypocritical or deceitful. It was not fake. It was real. Like God's loving kindness, Job's love was focused on redemption, showing the love of Christ to others in practical ways, bringing God's love to all of his neighbors. His love was genuine, like Romans 12:9, which says, because we know that Job was a man who A, feared God, and B, abhorred evil. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, we spoke about before that the true love that God requires is that kind of love that hates evil, especially the evil in our own hearts. The true kind of love is the love that abhors evil. And that plays a major role in how we combat sin in our lives. And I'll speak to that in a moment. But Romans 12:9 says, let love be genuine. Like Job, let it be genuine. What is genuine love? Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. What did Job do? Job overcame evil with good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another showing honor. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if you all try to outdo each other in showing honor to one another? Wouldn't that be a fun thing to watch? Let's have a contest to see who can show the most honor to one another. That's love that abhors evil. The dishonor that children show their parents in disrespect. The dishonor that we show when we talk about people. The dishonor that we show the Lord Jesus Christ when we take sin lightly. And we just, grace is just all over. But there's nothing to worry about because we're under grace. And so we are to rejoice in hope. That true love rejoices in the hope that we have in Christ. And it is patient, and it is constant in prayer, and it contributes to the needs of the saints, and it shows hospitality. Think of this is what Job's love was all about. Job's love was about loving kindness, the God kind of redemptive love. Every relationship that he had was based upon redemption, showing the love of Christ to whomever he was dealing with. And so what did that drive Job to do? Well, we read, and I know many people in chapter 31, the main thing they focus on, which and rightly so, is in verse 1, he says, I've made a covenant with my eyes, why then should I look upon a young woman? And then we see in verse 9, if my eye has been enticed by a woman or I've been lurked at my neighbor's door, he says some pretty awful things. If I ever did that, let my wife be the one to be the adulterer against me. Let some other man have my wife. Some very heavy words by Job. He made a covenant with his eyes because he was a covenant-loving, covenant-keeping man. He knew that God had made a covenant with him. And here he makes a covenant with his eyes because he hated evil. And he says here, what would God think from what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high if I were to do these things? See, this is a man who hated evil so much and realized that it was an offense against God that's what drove him to make the covenant with his eyes. What would be my reward, he says. Job understood, or really was preaching the doctrine of sowing and reaping. He knew that God saw all his ways and that it was adultery was a heinous crime against God, worthy of a similar crime against himself. Remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba and Nathan came and said to him, you've despised the commandment of the Lord and did evil in his sight. You killed Uriah with the sword. You've taken his wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah, the Hittite, to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house and I will take your wives from before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did this in secret, but I will do this thing before all Israel. You see, people want a 5-step program on how to avoid, you know, pornography. How to avoid, you know, doing this, you know, seeing this, seeing that. We do need to understand that Job made a covenant with his eyes because it's through the eyes goes to the heart. The eyes are the gateway to the heart. And we need to protect our eyes. Remember, as we were little children, Be careful, little eyes, what you see. It is true that it is with our eyes that comes into the heart, that evil springs out from the heart. But the one thing, we don't have a 5-step program on how to stop watching pornography or how to stop gossiping against your neighbor or how to stop looking for adulterous scenarios. Yes, there are things you ought not to do. You ought not to do this. You ought not to do that. You ought not to do that. But the primary thing we ought to do is hate evil. Abhor evil like Job, so much so. And has feared God so much so that he made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look upon another woman. That he would not gossip. Because he knew it would be an offense against his God. So I say that the best program we could have for all of us men, all of us women, to have the things in front of our eyes that we ought not to have in front of our eyes, is that love, like Job loved, the loving kindness that Job had because of the loving kindness that God had shown to him in redemption. So much so that he hated and abhorred evil because of it's an offense against his God. And if we had that perspective, if we had that attitude, the computers would be shut off. The magazines would be gone and everything else would be gone. We wouldn't need a 5-step program on how to stop this, that, the other thing, because we realize that our hearts, through our eyes and through our ears, we have these things that come into our hearts and it causes evil. And so rather than do that, we ought to protect our eyes because we hate the evil that can come into our lives and into our hearts. We know that the awful thing that things like, I talk about gossip so many times, how evil that is and how many people it hurts. If you were to be an adulterer, how many people would that hurt? The wickedness that it would cause in the family, in the lives of so many people, how wicked that would be. And Job said, if I ever did that, may God do this to me. We ought to abhor such evil, and we would cause our eyes to fear the Lord and to depart from evil, as Proverbs 3 says. We're to look straight ahead, Proverbs 4 says. Our eyes are to focus on God's ways, and we are to, hell and destruction are never so full, Proverbs says, so the eyes are never satisfied. We ought to know that our eyes can never be satisfied, whether the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh can never be satisfied. And so we need to be like Job. We need to have this love of God and love for one another that we would dare not sin against one another in any shape or form. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God we're not under the law. But we ought to be challenged by Job's life. We ought to be challenged by the loving kindness and mercy of Job that is exhibited in our Lord Jesus Christ. David fell because he looked at Bathsheba. Joseph, like Job, knew that God saw all his ways, and when he was tempted by Pharaoh's wife, he fled. What do your eyes see? It says in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you heard it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust at her already has committed adultery. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. Brethren, these immoral sins, especially sexual sins, are dangerous. They are so heinous and so dangerous that Revelation says that outside of the blessing are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and produces deceit. We ought to abhor evil so much because of the potential that it has in our lives and for our souls. It's important for us to take Job as a picture of what we ought to do. Brother, we are new creatures in Christ, and purity is what God calls us to. And the only way we're going to be pure is if we, like Job, fear God and abhor evil. And the last thing I'd like to bring is that Job's walk was a humble walk before God. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. He did in the context of gifts, but in the context of how Job lived his life humbly before God, it was because he did not think more highly than himself. And because he abhorred evil, he speaks much here of idols. Turn with me to verses 24 through 28 here in Job chapter 31. He says, if I have made gold my hope or said to find gold, you are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, because my hand had gained much. If I have observed the sun when it shines and the moon moving in brightness so that my heart had been secretly enticed and my mouth had kissed my hand, this also would be an iniquity deserving of judgment. For I would have denied God who was above. Living a humble life is living a life that not only abhors evil, but sees the idols that are in potentially in our lives. Job's eyes were not focused on the lusts of the flesh. He did not want to deny his God. He said that would be denying God. If I had idols in my life that I was hiding in my life, unrepented idols, that would be denying my God. Job would dare not deny his God. He walked humbly before God, understanding it was God's grace that it bestowed upon him. And how could he deny his God? Such worship of the flesh was deserving of judgment in Job's eyes. How often do we cheapen grace? Have we really counted the cost of following Christ? Do we consider what it cost him to give us this wonderful love and grace? How humble was our Lord Jesus Christ, even to death on the cross? True humility is not weakness. True humility is strength and courage by the grace of God. As we're humble and we're not hiding idols in our heart, as we know, Calvin said, the heart is idol factories. They just keep coming. You put one away, another one will show up. It's a constant battle. But if we do not come before our God and repent of the idols that are in our hearts and we hide them in our hearts, Job says it is denying God. And so we pray that we would continue to humble ourselves and submit to Jesus Christ as our Lord and for grace and strength so that we can fight this battle of idols. Do we fight against this sin of idol worship? The world, as Pastor Mark said in Sunday school today, it's, you know, I was commenting on how in the past we saw so many who were martyred for their faith, who were beaten because they were believers. And today I said, I just can't relate to that because we don't see that in this country. We read about it in the Voice of the Martyrs and things like that. And we pray for those who are being persecuted. But as he said, our persecution is the world, the lure of the world and the idols in the world. And so as we walk humbly before our God and we see that the idols are taking us away from the Lord Jesus Christ, that we come and we repent because we're not under law, because we are under grace. And we can come and repent. But God forbid that we would hold on to those idols, that we would not repent of those idols and ask for grace and strength to release the values of the world and the idols of the world. And brethren, it's not just the idols of things. It's important because it retains to the first two, to justice, to loving mercy and loving kindness, and to walking humbly. It's not just what we do. It's the attitudes that we have. It's the idols of what we have, attitudes that are idols. We have things in our lives that we won't give up. We hold dearly to these attitudes and we won't release them. And it causes, how much difficulties does it cause in our lives, in our families, in our church, when we don't give up these attitudes, these, because they're idols that we hold on to. And so our prayer is that as God would show us, that do we pray that God would show us these idols that are in our heart? They're in all of us. As Job said, everyone was born with the same way. No one is better than another. Matter of fact, he considered others more important than himself. But he was a man who repented. If I had transgressions that I hid in my heart, that would be evil and wicked, he says. And so I pray that as we walk humbly before our God, that we would take the idols that are in our hearts and realize what they are. Pray, Lord, show me all the idols that I have in my heart. Let me work in slaying that dragon and pushing Satan out of my life as much as possible, because I'm focused on repentance and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he's doing in my life and sanctifying me and bringing more and more and more into looking like my Lord Jesus Christ. Have you prayed for the Lord to show you your idols? We are warned much in Scripture not to be deceived. We can walk around thinking that we have no idols and God is deceiving us. But if we abhor evil, if we love like Job and the Lord Jesus Christ with the loving kindness, with redemption constantly in mind, and we walk humbly recognizing that we have idols that we need God's grace to help us to overcome, we will walk in truth as Job walked. We saw in verse 33 where he says, if I have covered my transgressions at Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom because I feared great multitudes, dreaded the contempt of family, so I kept silent. May God help me to do that. The integrity of the Christian is a life of repentance. It is a life of recognizing that we are not under law, but under grace. But shall then we sin? Certainly not. Shall we repent? Certainly so. Shall we come to God in faith and repentance? Certainly so. So let us tonight, let us look to do justly to all that are in our path. Let us look to see the loving kindness of God that he's shown into our lives, that redemptive love, that loyalty, that devotion that he has toward us, that we would be devoted, as the scripture tells us, to one another, that we would share our lives with one another, and that we would abhor the evil that is in our own hearts and not be looking to point to the evil of others, but to take the lumber out of our own eyes and to ask the Lord Jesus Christ for help in dealing, to be able to love with true love and abhor evil. And let us take those idols and ask our God to come before us and to help us to slay those idols so that we could be more used for the kingdom of God, to uplift and edify the body of Christ. And may we, like David, say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Brethren, may that be our prayer. And if you are not in Christ tonight, all those things that Job said would come upon him if he were to sin will come upon you. All the things he said, if I do this, may this come upon me. All of the wicked and all of the evil that Job casts upon himself, should he do these things, will come upon those. It says in verse 3, is not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? If you are not in Christ tonight, God is angry with you. But you have Jesus Christ to come. Tonight I pray that if you're not in Christ, that you would come and flee to him. And that God's wrath would be turned to loyalty and loving kindness for you in your life. That you would have peace with God. And that this destruction and all of the workers of iniquity and all where they're going, as we saw with Saul this morning, tomorrow could be the day. I got a call yesterday that someone I had just seen, they slipped and fell yesterday and hit their head and they're dead. We never know what a day will bring. May God, if you are not in Christ, cause you to bow the knee tonight. And may God help us to encourage one another to fight the good fight of faith and look to our Lord Jesus Christ for help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your grace and mercy tonight. We pray that you would help us to look to be a people that would look to do justly amongst one another, to those that you have bring to us, Lord, that we would look for opportunities to do justly, Lord, that we would love mercy and loving kindness, the devotion that you have toward us and the loyalty and the passion that you love us with. May you give that to us, O God. We pray. We, apart from your Spirit, we cannot do this, Lord. We are just weak. We bring nothing but our sin, but you, Lord, are our God and our Savior. We pray that you would help us in this way. And Lord, finally, we pray that you would help us to walk humbly, to look at our lives, to see where those idols in our hearts lie, that we would put them to death by your grace and by the Spirit, O God, we pray. And with one another, that as one would complain to another, that we would say, yes, forgive me. Let me help you. Lord, I pray that would be our hearts. Let us go from here rejoicing that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us that great loving kindness and redemption that he's given to us in Christ. We pray and we thank you and we praise you for your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.